Welcome back. Did you miss
us? Guys, did you miss us? Because we missed you.
It's been like a whole week.
It has. Like a exact whole week.
I know. And that's weird for us.
I know. I hope everyone had the merriest and happiest Thanksgiving ever.
OMG, same.
And ate so much food. I was in Florida with my fam, and it actually wasn't humid at all, and I actually enjoyed the weather this time. That's rare.
I love Florida from, like, November through, like, February. It is heaven to me.
My parents have a fireplace in their house. A lot of places don't. And so we were like sitting by the fire. It was actually really, really nice. And then one of my best friends that I had met when I moved here originally, she's from here, but she is going to school in Florida right now.
Did you get to see her?
Yeah, well, she couldn't afford to come, like, fly all the way back here for Thanksgiving. So she drove down and had Thanksgiving with me and my fam. So that was fun.
Shut up. I didn't know that. I love that.
It was a great time. My brother and his girlfriend were there. I found out that my brother's not an asshole. It's only to his family.
I hate when that happens.
Apparently. Oh, yeah. I told you on the phone yesterday that my brother, like... Mm-hmm. For their 1 year, and first of all, like, I need all of you will meet my brother one day by force or something, because my brother is like the biggest asshole ever. Love him, kind of. Anyway, like, and that's like the greatest way I can put it. He's just kind of an asshole, and
that's all big brothers.
But yeah, he like took her to Vegas for a day. I'm like, who is this man?
Not my brother.
Yeah.
Nope. Not me.
Nope. Not me. No way. No how. I'm like, wow. I don't think he's ever... fine.
That is freaking hilarious.
But it was actually really cute. I was like, okay, propose now.
Okay, do it.
Let's get the show on the road.
But it was literally so fun. I love that. I was just sick. Okay, well, first of all, I did great on Thanksgiving. I cooked the turkey all by myself, and it was a fat turkey.
So proud.
Did you see the picture of it? Because
I did. It was a sexy turkey.
Pretty impressive. Yeah. It was a good looking turkey. Let me tell you that right now. It was. And I crushed it. And then the night of Thanksgiving, I got like so sick. And then I just got more sick as like the weekend went on. And like Saturday, I literally had like full body aches and chills for like 8 hours straight. I was just curled up in bed. Just all day. I slept, I think, like 8 hours during the day. I was in so much pain. I kept, like, taking painkillers and, like, fever reducers and stuff like that. And I was like, fix me. Oh, my gosh.
Speaking of, I wasn't even sick, but I didn't take my, like, ADD meds, like, for, like, 3 days. And because I didn't have to do anything task-worthy. And I was lazy. And I took it. Or first of all, I hadn't taken it, and I kid you not, one of the days I slept for like 10 hours at night. I then took a nap, like an hour and a half nap, like 2 hours later, and then we got home from something and I took another nap.
I'm so dead.
My mom was so concerned.
That's me.
And also I think a little annoying. But then I took my medicine the next day and I stayed up the whole day. I was like, oh, okay, clearly.
Okay, but also
hasn't been without the medication.
Also, listen though, and this is for your mom. I know she's watching, but they say that when kids come home from like college, like grown kids come home from like college or just life in general, like especially kids in their 20s and stuff, they say that like kids sleep a ton when they're at home because that's like their safe space and like they finally feel like
that's what my mom said. She said. That's actually really funny. So when the first time my like mom brought my dad home, they were besties. I feel like my mom probably liked him and he like didn't know yet because men are oblivious. Love you, Dad.
I'm dead.
And the first time he was meeting, and by the way, like my mom's parents are like just super, I don't even know. They're not like strict, but they're... like very Southern. So it's all about respecting the elders and just stuff like that. And I think the immediate thing that my dad did was like fell asleep on their couch in front of their fireplace for like 4 hours.
I'm dead. Me. That would be that, me.
That was their first impression. They're like, who? Kim. Kim. Kimberly.
Who is this guy sleeping on our couch?
Why is he here?
Who is that?
But that always cracks me up. Okay. But a lot of basketball happened, which was also super fun because we have a projector in my parents' like sitting room. There was a big blank wall, and I was like, we should get a projector. I said this like years ago.
Why don't we have one?
So every time that I come home, it's my favorite thing to watch the football and basketball games on because it's just huge. If you follow me on Twitter, you saw that Tony Brothers was like in my living room when
he was giant on your wall.
He was up close and personal and everyone, like, everyone was like, I rebuke
this. That's Big Tony.
They were like,
that's Big Towns. But
I watched so much basketball and it was so wonderful.
Real quick, this has to do with Tony Brothers, but I have to tell you, I always think about it. But there is a girl that I knew, and it was like when I first like got on Twitter a couple of years ago and was like on sports Twitter, and there was a tweet that went viral, and this girl said that she thought Tony Brothers were the Tony Brothers and that they were twins and that and like their last name was Tony and that like they would like ref games like at different like places at the same time. Yeah, she thought they were twins and that they would ref places like at different times and stuff like that. And she's like, I've never seen them ref a game together. I'm like, there's a reason for that. There's one of them.
Just one.
But it's like one my favorite bestie. Thing in the world, though. I'm like, I literally couldn't even make fun of that. Like, that's so me coded. I would do that. If I didn't watch so much basketball, that would be me.
There was a girl on TikTok the other day, and she was like, I know this is super embarrassing, and I probably shouldn't admit this, but I just found out this year, and she was like, I actually watch sports, that the Washington Commanders aren't in the state of Washington. And actually so many guys actually commented and were like, you're not alone. But it's funny because like, I know that the Washington Commanders are in DC, but when I don't know if some people are like this, where they like sometimes picture a map in their heads with certain things. Anyway, when I think of like when I hear Washington Commanders, though, I do picture them above Seattle, even though like I know
I'm dead. Love that. I know. I love that, though. I mean, I think that like, I don't know if that's like, I don't know if it's like an issue necessarily, but it's absolutely a thing. I mean, you think about it and it's like the Baltimore Ravens and the Washington Commanders are literally
not
like
far.
They're like 30 minutes apart and stuff like that. Yeah. Exactly. So it's just like, it's so weird to think about because, every time like Washington Capitals, Washington Commanders, like,
and, like
all of the Washington
teams. I always knew the Wizards were always DC. Like, I never.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. But anyway, moving on.
I love that. That's hilarious.
Moving on. We have to talk about them, even though I don't really want to. It's the.
I'm dead.
The Houston Rockets. The Houston Rockets. Did you actually see? Oh, darn. Who was it? One team stole. Okay, if you have TikTok, please go on the Orlando Magic page because they play the funniest stuff when they win. Like, whoever their social media manager is, homegirl is a full, or home guy is a full-on millennial because they post like the silliest memes of random stuff dancing and then play the music. It has nothing to do with like the basketball team, but and then they post the score in the corner. It's so funny. And another, I want to say it was the Suns, but I feel like I made that up. Anyway, another team did that the other day, and everyone was like, I think it was.
Are you copying them?
Everyone was like, Orlando Magic question mark?
Have you?
Stealing their shit? Anyway, the Houston Rockets. The Houston Rockets are now second in the West.
They're climbing their way up. And we talked about this. I think we even talked about this a couple weeks ago. We were like, are they contenders or pretenders? And we were like, we don't really have enough. Like, I think that they're, I was saying that they would be like at least a play-in team at the very least. But we just didn't, we didn't really have enough data. And now they have won 10 of their last 12 games, including
and
wins against
Thunder.
Very competitive teams. Exactly. Exactly.
They beat the last minutes, if you didn't watch the last like 2.5 minutes of the Rockets Thunder game, you should go back and watch it.
You must. It was so good.
There was literally a point where Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I just said his whole government name, wow, SGA had the ball.
SGA.
And Dylan Brooks came over and like went to steal it, and they neither of them would let go. They were literally like it jumping and dancing around into the bench.
So good.
And it I was expecting someone to get a tech, and no one, like no technicals were given.
Yes. And so it was for me, it was like it was like the best thing in the world. Yes, it was the best thing in the world, because so if you don't already know this, Dylan Brooks and SGA are both from Canada, and they both played for the Canadian national team for the Olympics this year. And so they're actually really good friends. And when they were doing, when they were both going for the ball and it ended up being a jump ball, it was like, I thought they were going to start throwing punches.
Were being thrown.
No, literally, because it ended up like they ended up being pushed onto the Rockets bench, like fighting for the ball, going over to the bench. And like, that's where they ended up. And then like the Rockets teammates were like kind of surrounding Dylan Brooks. And then like the guys that were already on the court for OKC came over too. And then there were coaches and refs, and people thought that they were fighting, but SGA and Dylan Brooks were cracking up. They were laughing so hard because it was just like
afterwards. Yes. I saw him and J-Dub were cracking up, like,
yes.
Even, and I was like, oh, they're laughing.
The other teammates.
I thought it was a fight.
Me too. And so like at first I absolutely thought it was a fight. And then I saw that they like literally like the teams were laughing. The only people that weren't laughing were the refs and the coaches, because they were probably like us, like, what the F is going on?
Yeah. I honestly, it so cracks good. Me up. When like friends and people just that like when they're chatting during a game, like even right before the play begins, and they're like hee-heeing, ha-haing, and then they like instantly go at each other.
Yeah.
And I'm I was like, I guess that's something you have to learn early. I guess like when you start playing AAU and stuff, you make friends and friends go to different teams. So I guess you grow up doing that. But I am like such a competitive person that I'm like, no, they are my enemy. Like, I don't know how you like go into it. Like, and just even like Luke and Jokic, they always seem to have fun. But I'm like, how do you make it to where you're like, oh, I'm going to like end their team tonight, but that's my best friend. Like, I was like, that's so mean. Literally. Like, I want to be nice to my friends, but I'm also so competitive. So and I don't know how they do it.
I think that it's like, and it's funny because it's so me, like, when I played basketball, I'm just like a girl's girl. And you know this. Yeah. And so obviously it's a little bit different for me than like the guys in the NBA. But like, I literally have had times where like I'm getting ready to box out a girl shooting free throws, and I looked at the girl next to me and I was like, your braid is gorgeous. And then I would box her ass out and grab the rebound.
Your hair's so like, cute.
Anyway, yeah, literally. And
back
then I had
out
another
the way,
girl.
Bestie.
Yes, I had another girl that was going up for a layup, and I literally swatted the ball like to the wall out of bounds. And I literally grabbed the ball and I gave it back to her. And I was like, I'm really sorry. I'm so sorry for that.
It does. Like, it was so funny. Yeah. That always cracks me up. And I forgot that in that moment, I was just thinking of Dylan Brooks being Dylan Brooks. And I forgot that they're both from Canada and like obviously played together. And so I was like, oh my gosh, what's happening? It's Dylan Brooks is doing Dylan Brooks things.
Each other? Yes. And everyone was just like, the announcers and everything like that. Like the players looked at the refs and they were all like, we're all good. I promise. Like, we're not fighting. Like, that was just, it was competitive basketball. So I was actually really happy that it was called just a jump ball and there were no techs or anything, because I was like,
I thought
like,
they were punches thrown. So I was like, where is the text?
Me too, at first.
It's funny though, because that game was so competitive that was like towards the end and they were like cracking up. They're like, oh, it's all.
Yes. Yeah. You know what? I love that stuff though. Like, I love, it's the same thing with like football and everything like that. Like, I love when stuff gets chippy but like chippy, but not like you're not hurting anyone. Like, just good, competitive, chippy, shit talking sports. It's so good.
Yeah. I like when they're like each cracking up. Like, both people are like kind of talking, like jabbing at each other, but it's like all in good nature. Yeah, so
I like watching, if you ever get a chance, watch Lakers and Warriors. LeBron and Draymond is hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it's so good.
They are so fun, especially like after like the earlier years. It's so funny that they're all just like old men now, basically, that are
literally.
It's like they're playing in the
rec league.
Yeah.
Jinx.
But the Houston Rockets, so they beat the Thunder and then they beat the Wolves in overtime. They have been, we talked about this a little earlier when Kat wasn't doing so well, and I was almost saying, I was thinking that the Knicks, I said, didn't have any like dogs, AKA like someone to like bring that, like that Anthony Edwards injury.
Bring the fire.
Energy. But the Houston Rockets is full of dogs.
All they have is dogs.
All they have is dogs. Like, I don't, so the thing, I'm not calling them contenders. I want to say that right now, just because they are still such a young team. But I definitely think at this point that they are a playoff team, and they could, they have them and OKC, I think, have both the top one of the, like in the top three defenses, or they did a few days ago, you know, it's always changing. So Fred VanVleet had 38 points against, the Thunder. Alperen Şengün had a double double, almost a triple double. By the way, my Uber driver last night was from Istanbul, and he knows Alperen Şengün personally.
I love that.
He was like talking to me about concerts or something. I was like, oh, I would rather spend money on, like, I go to basketball games.
Basketball games.
Than concerts. And he was like, have you ever heard of the Houston Rockets? I was like, yes. Yes, I have. Mm-mm. He goes, never. Do you know the guy named Alperen Şengün? I was like, yes, I do.
He's like, he's my friend.
I he was like, I know him in person. I was like, that's so cool.
I love that.
A lot of people call Alperen Şengün a baby Jokic. He has been doing great. He has, if you watch him, I think they call him that because he has a lot of the similar moves in the post where he does, like, he backs you up and then does like the little spin in like the over your head. And he's been amazing. Jabari Smith Jr., Tari Eason, Amen Thompson. I just had to shout some of these people out because they have
been so good.
So good. And in overtime against the Timberwolves, in that game, Şengün did have a triple-double. Jabari Smith Jr. had 19 points. Amen Thompson had 4 steals and 3 blocks. Jabari Smith Jr. and Amen Thompson are both people that have, like, impressed the crap out of me. They, like, Jabari
Smith
Jr. Were
they both rookies last year? Is this their sophomore season?
I think this... Amen Thompson was a rookie last year. Jabari Smith Jr., I think this is his third year, I want to say.
Yep, 2022. And then Amen was last year, yeah.
One of the things that I have loved about Jabari Smith Jr. and watching him is that he, for the most part, you can tell, again, they're still young, so they're making the right shots. They're not taking shots that they don't know how to make. So in that OT game, he was 88.9% from the field. He had 8 from 9 from the field, 3 out of 4 three-pointers. He was a plus 30. He had 2 blocks. Obviously, they are just an incredible defensive team. Şengün had 3 steals and 3 blocks in that overtime game and so many deflections. Again, they need to start putting that in like the main score thing. But
for I would love to see deflections in like the main stats.
But it's just so great for them because before it's like they had really great defense, but I didn't think they had enough offensive like output because
do you want to know what's funny? Is I was going to say, I'm glad that you said like that because I wanted to just, if you're okay with it, I was going to throw in something about Şengün real quick is that with him and like his whole baby Jokic thing, I think he's like, I don't know if he's just like maybe studied Jokic's play and stuff like that because this year, not only does he have like a lot of the same moves, but now he's also kind of taking over a little bit more of a facilitator role. Like I know you have Fred VanVleet and he's fantastic, but you see Alperen Şengün with like 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 assists every game now. And he's kind of out there making things happen. Like he's definitely taking pages out of Jokic's playbook. And I think it's helping with that offensive output. Like I think that like that's a big reason that they're kind of taking this leap offensively and why Alperen Şengün's having, you know, such a monster season. It's been incredible.
I will say that sometimes he doesn't have like the best efficiency. And we've mentioned that before. He was only, he was 9 for 23 in the final OT game, but he was of course guarded by Rudy. And so he was getting like a lot of those, like trying to get over him. So he just missed some of those. It's like one of those things where you kind of expect that to happen, but he was doing a lot of like the Jokic tries to like tap in and he actually ended up hitting the game winner over Rudy and then did the
love it.
The two.
Did he too
the,
small Rudy Gobert?
He too small Rudy Gobert.
Okay, Şengün.
Şengün I mean, people talked about him last year. He's going to be a force. I've been impressed with him for a while. And then Jabari Smith and Amen Thompson, obviously, like I was saying, Jabari Smith has just been good, again, at being really careful and playing the game, like, the right way. And so I think almost, you know, he was only getting, like, up 9 shots in that game. And I would honestly love to see him get even, like, more shots up.
More.
Because
be a little riskier with it. Take the hard shots.
Be a little riskier. You have him. And then, like, Tari Eason, again, they have so many defensive people on that team. You have Dylan Brooks.
They do.
He never saw a shot that he didn't like. So Dylan Brooks is always gonna get his shot attempts out. But I love, like, when the young guys, it's like Christian Brown this year. Like, they're not trying to make the ridiculous, like, oh, that's my water bottle. Like, over the arm, like, left hook shots that you're like, that. Yeah. Like, why was that? Why did you even attempt that? You know what I'm saying?
You didn't need that. Yeah.
And so we didn't need to do that. So I do love when the young guys know what they can do and they play it, like, not too safe, but just, you know, high execution and high efficiency. And so same with Amen Thompson. Like, he is not the best offensive player, but he can guard anyone. He was guarding, like, Anthony Edwards. He was under, like, with Rudy Gobert, with Jaden McDaniels. Yeah. He has been so, so good for them. And he's coming off the bench. I think he ended up playing against that OT win. He played 38 minutes off the bench, which is obviously, when you go in OT, you're going to play more.
He's such an athlete, too. Like, he just, he's strong, and he's also fast. Like, he can run. He can grab rebounds. Like, he's someone
that
you can throw inside or around the perimeter, and you can just, like, trust that something's going to get done, like, whether it be on defense or offense. Like, he's going to be there. He's a guy that you can have moving around off ball as well. Like, good screen setter. Like, he kind of does it all. And he's just, like you said, like, he's great for their bench. He's so good for their bench. And
he's been so good too. Just, like, again, I love a rebounder. I love a guy that's getting rebounds. And he, you know, at the OKC game, he had 9.6 rebounds. Against Philadelphia, 19 points, 13 rebounds, 3 steals. Minnesota, 15 points, 8 rebounds, 4 steals. He is a defensive force, and especially coming off the bench. And speaking of, I didn't want to talk about it, because, again, I feel like his offensive talent is, like, starting to develop a little bit. He reminds me a lot of, like, I want Peyton Thompson, or Peyton Thompson. I combined their names, Peyton Thompson. I want Peyton Watson on, you know, our team, the Nuggets, to do more of that. You know, because they're similar, like, body types, like, really long, really lanky. And I think they can both be, you know, like, I think Peyton Watson can do what he's doing. But
Hunter, easy. Yeah.
Easy. So it's like, I just love how much effort they have. And I think it's because their team is so young. But I think we've talked about this before, that, like, and some people say this about Anthony Edwards, that some people are so athletic and that's what gets them to the NBA. But what hurts them in the NBA is their IQ. And so that's why you have someone Jokic, who is probably, everyone says, is, like, the least athletic guy ever. But he has such a high IQ. It does not matter. Like, he's incredible. And so my thing, and I mentioned this over the offseason, that I didn't love Jalen Green. Like, I think he's super inconsistent. And then, like, towards the end of the year, he was playing better. But when I look at all of the pieces on this team, he's, like, the one piece in my, like, head that I would get rid of. Like, that I...
Interesting.
And a lot of, like, the Rockets fans have, like, mentioned it, because when you have, like, Fred VanVleet, who, of course, is doing so incredible. Like, he's amazing. I loved watching him last year.
He's been amazing.
He's so incredible. So when you have people like Fred VanVleet and, like, Dylan Brooks and Şengün, and then you have Jabari Smith Jr., who's starting to give you more offensive output, and they play so well together. And then, you know, someone comes off and Jalen Green comes out, and it, like, everything just looks weird. It, like, doesn't look right.
He throws it off. Interesting.
He just throws off. I don't know what it is, but, and I, it's like, he's so athletic, but again, like, some of the things he makes are just so low IQ that I think it's detrimental sometimes, like, to his game.
Yeah.
And again, he's
bad,
just, like,
choices.
He's so inconsistent. Like, every other player, you know, is getting kind of similar numbers every night. Like, they are consistent with their game and how they play.
Yeah.
And then he's, like, up and down.
Yeah.
So I'm really curious. Like, I think in the future, I don't know if they'll do anything this year, but if they were to trade him, you know, for like one more piece that's just a step above him, then yeah. I'd consider them like a contending team. Because if you don't have defense now, yeah. I mean, it's become apparent watching the Nuggets, but if you don't have amazing, multiple amazing defenders, honestly, like when you look at the best defensive teams, like the Magic, OKC and the Rockets, they have multiple amazing defenders. It's not just
one guy or one and a half guys
yeah. that's really good. And so I think that's where a lot of teams are struggling this year, is they're like the defense and just has grown so much. I feel like
it's I was gonna say that, like, yeah, the offense has grown so exponentially over the years on, well, both inside the paint and around the perimeter. Like, the offense has just, like,
yes,
every team is an offensive team. And so if you want to win games, you have to have good defense. You, like, it is a necessity now in this NBA. Like, you have to have an impeccable offense like everyone else, but you also need to be able to defend that offense at the rim, around the perimeter, etc. So
yeah, and it's like so apparent when you're watching other teams. Like, if you know and watch, and I hated this comment from KCP at the time, because he said, "I'm just so happy to be on a team where everyone like plays defense." And I don't even think,
but
like,
now
he meant it maliciously.
Yeah.
But it's so true. And it's so, mm-hmm. I mean, it was starting to get that way last year, of course, like with the Celtics. But it's so apparent this year that the top teams are the ones that have everyone playing with insane defense.
Yep, absolutely. I'm with you there. I agree with you overall, though. While we just wrap up the Rockets, yeah. I think that they're going to be a playoff team. I don't know if they're necessarily contenders. They remind me a lot of last year's OKC, young, hungry, yeah. but don't have enough playoff experience as a group.
Exactly.
To really get them there. So I definitely think they'll be a playoff team, but maybe like a first round exit, or like best case scenario for them, probably like a second round exit. But they are, the next couple of years, they and OKC are going to be battling for the West. And I know it. And I hate that.
Again, like both those teams.
I hate it for us.
Again, I think they always say it's like you need to get into the playoffs, of course, just to get that experience. Even though, you know, like I think that I fully believe if they end up, you know, at the top, like that they could, or, you know, in the middle or towards the bottom, that they can battle a top team to like a long series. I don't,
absolutely.
I could never see them getting swept. And if anyone is a Nuggets fan watching this, you'll know that Houston in the beginning of the season last year whooped our butts like twice in a row back to, like, we could not mm-hmm. beat them. And so I knew this year that if they kept building and getting pieces, that they were going to continue to be better. And that's just how I feel about OKC too. It's like, you have to get into the playoffs, and then you're like, okay, like we got to the playoffs. And then you have to get to like the Western Conference Finals almost and get that like heartbreak, and then you're like fully, it's like the
yeah, it's like a rite of passage.
I understand it now. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a rite of passage. You have to get your heart broken first.
It really is. I mean, everyone yes. said that. That's what like they said about the Nuggets. You know, we got our heart broken. Like, it's honestly yep. same with the Celtics. Like, it's just, it's something that has to happen.
Yep.
But I wanted to
and
talk
then
about
you go
a team.
Win.
Yeah, right. I wanted to talk about a team that, you know, everyone would have thought would be, you know, repeating their Western Conference Finals appearance this year, and it's not looking like that. Also, because we were talking about them in OT, the Timberwolves.
They are struggling.
They are
so hard. Struggling. And here's the thing, and I'm just going to say this. If you are a Timberwolves fan or a fan of any team and you boo your own team, unless you are a Browns fan booing Deshaun Watson off the field.
Who's like a predator.
Not be yeah, literally. You should not be booing your yeah. own team.
It's just, again, like, I'll never get over this trade. Okay. I can't like, I know.
I can't wrap my head around it.
I know that it was to save money in the future. That's wonderful. Yeah. But yeah. when your team for the first time, that was right. Their first Western Conference Finals appearance, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
When you make it to the Western Conference Finals, like in the first year, and then you just said, nah, like, let's rebuild. that was just, I just can't believe like the, make it make sense to me. And a lot of people are still saying.
I think they had like finals appearances before the merger. I do just want to correct that. But like before the ABA and the NBA merged.
All time, they have two appearances in the conference finals. Okay.
Yeah.
That's not a lot, besties. So when you
it's a new life for them.
Yeah. So it's just so interesting to me that that would be your decision, like without even trying. Cause to me, like I'm running it back one more time. I mean, that's what the Nuggets did this past year. Of course we couldn't keep all of our bench players. Yes. Well, the Suns have to, kinda, but just to get rid of like your like franchise, you know, he was there for forever. I know we've, you know, talked about it, but as we keep going on and they still like this many games now into the season are still not looking great. I just like, it's obvious that it was so different with Kat there. And obviously, again, yeah. I said that I was like, it's gotta be half of it. You don't have 2 7-footers on the floor anymore. That's well, they a had huge a totally, difference.
Yes. That's what I was going to say is like, they had a very specific offense that worked very well for them. It's like, it's like other teams trying to copy the Warriors and play small ball 24/7. Like it only works because you have that team. 2 7-footers is not going to work on every team, but it worked incredible for the Timberwolves, and they had something. They had something going. Like
their defense was great. Kat and Anthony Edwards were great. Their spacing was incredible. And now your spacing is off. You know, you're booing your own team. Anthony Edwards is like, oh, you want to know why we're trash? And he's like, there's no continuity between the team. And I'm like, who would have known that Kat was the one who brought everybody together?
Right.
Who would have known that Kat was the guy that held the team together? Because
he was the glue.
Who was the glue? Because it's so clear. Like they're... And even the new guys that they brought in, well, I don't know about Julius Randle, but like I knew, and I talked about this before, I didn't think the spacing was going to work because Julius Randle is not Karl Anthony Towns. And then you bring in Dante DiVincenzo, and I feel so bad, but he looks so miserable. And
he does look miserable, and he's playing like he's miserable.
Oh, darn. I had to bring back... I forgot to mention this stat earlier. Jalen Green, by the way, in the past month has been 35% from the field and 25% from three. Fun fact. I thought that was Dante's record, but Dante is shooting like 30% anyway. Shooting like 30%. You know, he was so comfortable in his role last year with the Knicks and playing with his friends. And it's like, he doesn't look like he likes his role. He's, you know, taking ridiculous shots. He had a shot the other game where... it was like top of the key, open three, and he hit the top of the backboard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's like, just like he's making bad decisions. Like he's playing like someone. I always say, if you're not happy, you're going to play like you're not happy.
Yeah. And
like you play the way that you feel, I guess. Like and I just think that like that's, you know, like if you're playing for revenge, you're going to play angry, really good, really athletic basketball.
Yeah.
If you're playing like you're happy, you're going to play exciting, good basketball. If you're miserable, you don't care. Like when I'm in like a super bad mood and I go shoot hoops, I just throw the ball up. I'm just in a bad, like, it doesn't matter. I don't care if I'm in the middle of the game.
It goes down to anything. I was so exhausted this morning, and I like went to Pilates, and the usual stuff that I'd challenge myself to stay. Yep. I was being so lazy today. And you're I like, always tell myself, when I have a bad workout, it's better than if I was sitting in bed not doing anything. But still, like, I wasn't, you know, doing what I usually would do because I was exhausted and miserable. And I closed my eyes for too long and I would have fallen asleep. So it's like, it's just so obvious he doesn't want to be there.
Well, and he was just like, I feel like he was such an odd pickup. Julius Randle to me makes sense. Because I feel like Julius Randle can do a lot of what Kat could do, but at a smaller size. I wouldn't say that he fills that position at all, like to the fullest extent, but can do a lot of those things.
They're different players, and Julius Randle can be so good and so bad.
Totally. Definitely a lot more inconsistent than Kat. Yes.
Yeah.
And with DiVincenzo, like he came in and he did really well on the Warriors because he got to be a number two next to Steph. a lot of the season when he would come in and start for Clay and everything like that. He did amazing with the Knicks because he got to be a number two and start next to Jalen Brunson. He's fantastic in a backcourt that makes sense for him. But with the Timberwolves, they already have Nikhil Alexander-Walker. They already have Mike Conley. Like, they already kind of have their guys that go next to Ant. And, like, he doesn't really fit in there. And when the rest of the guys are on the court and then DiVincenzo comes on, where does he fit in? He doesn't. He doesn't really fit in. And they're going to be more, like, more likely to pass to the guys that they know are going to be hitting their shots or, you know, things like that. So he's, and we're going to talk about trades later, but they're looking at possibly trading him, which I feel like they should. So,
yeah, well, because of his play, you know, he would usually have more minutes, but now he's getting, he went like 0 for, you know, like 5 or something. And then he
last
usually would have,
night,
yeah,
go ahead. No, I was just going to say, go ahead and finish that, your thing.
Oh, I just meant that because of that, Rob Dillingham is going in, who's their rookie, which they traded up for. Mind you, Rob Dillingham, they say he's like 6'3". I think he's like 6'1". He's a Kentucky Wildcat. I love Rob Dillingham. I was so mad because I don't really love the Timberwolves that they got him. But he has been playing. I mean, if he were like 6'6", 6'7", he would be an all-star guard.
For sure.
He is incredible, his ball handling, and I think he's going to get, you know, a lot more minutes. So I totally agree with you that I can see them moving on from DiVincenzo and just giving, like, letting Rob Dillingham take. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do, though, because Ant seems miserable. Obviously, he's like, you know, y'all are booing us in our homes. Like, what? You want to know why we're trash? Like, he seems pissed.
He seems so mad.
Yeah, so I don't know what they're going to do. It's awkward.
But what I was just going to say, though, is that, like, the hard part is that, like, for me, I've seen DiVincenzo obviously play for the Warriors, and then we all saw him play last year. So seeing him come to the Timberwolves and, like, play the way that he has been so weird. But last night, the Wolves blew out the Lakers. Lakers only scored 80 points yesterday, and the Timberwolves won by just about 30. They won by 29. They scored 109 points. But in this game, DiVincenzo got a lot of minutes because they were winning so much and everything like that. And he had a pretty good game. Like, he shot 50%. He got 11 points, 5 rebounds. He had 9 assists in that 50%. He can be a great facilitator. And he had 2 steals. He's the guy that, like, I keep saying, like, he is a 3-and-D guy, but, like, he has to have a spot on a team. Like, he can't just be, like, a random deep bench guy that you throw into a lineup that he doesn't make
sense
in. He's
got a role, and, like, you need to.
He does.
And we've said that all the time.
He's not a versatile guy, I wouldn't say.
No, we've said this all in the NBA and NFL. Like, you can put a guy in the wrong system, and it's not going to work. Russell Westbrook, you know what I'm saying?
Totally.
Speaking of the Lakers, we can talk. They're also suffering. So
they are struggling.
Yeah, they got wrecked yesterday.
They did.
It's so weird because I was texting Caitlin earlier when we were kind of deciding what we wanted to talk about, and I was like, it's interesting because the Lakers aren't bad by any means, but again, it just reminds me every year that they're like a play-in-ish team. You know what I mean? Like, they have enough that they're not going to ever like fully miss the playoffs in the past couple years, but they're not true contenders in any way. So
no, I agree. And
they,
like,
lost by 29.
I know. They only scored 80. That's like the concerning part for me is that they only scored 80. They only scored 105 on the Jazz and beat the Jazz by 1 point. And then they only scored 93 against the Thunder the other day. But they've been having a lot of lower scoring games. And I think a big part of that is LeBron has been struggling with his shooting.
A turnover machine. He
like
had
crazy.
6 turnovers last game.
6 just and yesterday.
I think he had 5 each in the 2 games before that. Like,
he had 5. So 3 games in a row with 5, 6 yesterday, 4 games in a row with 5, a game with 6 turnovers before that. And then his games when he was playing well, he started getting less, but he's been a turnover machine, like you said, and his shot has just not been falling. I mean, a couple games ago, he did have 27 points.
And he's not making them.
Really weird shot selection. Like, he's trying to force it now because he knows his shot is off.
Yeah.
Like, and it's really hard to watch.
There's nothing worse than when you can tell they're shooting through it. You're like, please stop, please stop, please stop.
Yeah, literally. Shoot those at practice, babe.
And listen, when you lose by, I love that in a loss by 29, D'Angelo Russell was 8 for 12 from the field and 4 of 5.
That's it. I was literally watching. Go ahead.
I just meant he only puts up numbers in a huge lot.
Yes, that's what I was gonna say. I was literally watching yesterday, and I was like, D'Lo would be draining these shots on the night that they're getting their asses kicked.
Literally, their asses.
Go ahead, D'Lo.
Belt to ass. That is the only time he shines. I cannot. Everyone knows I can't stand D'Lo. He's just the most miserable person to watch. But yeah, Anthony Davis also didn't have a great game. He was 4 from 14. They could not shoot for shit. They were 40% from the field, which honestly, like, doesn't sound awful, but you know, 32 shots out of 79.
Yep.
And the Wolves, they were 19% from three. The Wolves shot 42% from three. They had 15 threes. And yeah, the Lakers had 20 turnovers. The Wolves won in every area. They had less turnovers. They had more rebounds, more assists, same amount of blocks, but more defensive rebounds, you know, more, almost 10 more points off turnovers, 10 more points in the paint, 13 more points, fast break points. Like, they actually looked, they made them look like a Eastern Conference team.
The way that I like look at it is, you know, cause I mean, first of all, 6 for 31 from three, 19%. Like, that's unacceptable. Just stop shooting them at that point.
Go to the paint. Get your band. Drive.
Your band from outside the arc. Yeah. And it's just like, the way that you think about it, the Lakers only had 9 offensive rebounds. And if they're 6 for 31 from three, and they only had 9 offensive rebounds, that means that there were 16 second opportunities, or like 16 opportunities where the Timberwolves were able to grab a rebound and go to the other end in transition and get an opportunity to score.
You're
literally just giving them away.
I think what cracks me up too is like the Wolves, like, it's not, you'd probably hear that and you're like, oh, Ant must have had a monster game. Ant had 8 points.
Yep.
Ant was 3 for 13. Nikhil Alexander Walker, Naz Reid, Julius Randle, and Rudy Gobert all kind of shared it. Naz Reid and Nikhil Alexander Walker each had 15. Julius Randle with 18 and Rudy Gobert with 17 points, 12 rebounds, and he was 7 or 8 from the field. So it's not even
super.
The Lakers looked that bad that they made the Wolves look that good, even though they weren't.
It was a crappy game for them. Yeah. Yes,
Mike Conley
agree.
Was back, but again, he only had 9 points. So it was very interesting. The Lakers are clearly struggling. Austin Reeves has been bad.
I think that the West as a whole, like, I don't think that the West is the Eastern Conference by any means, but I think that the West as a whole is struggling a lot more than I thought that they would.
Yeah. All the teams that, like, you would have put at the top just look uncertain besides OKC.
Absolutely. Yep. No, 100%.
100%. It's so crazy to watch the standings too, because everything's flip-flopping. Yes. Like, the Nuggets were literally fifth, and then I think went to 10th after their loss the other night by 3. And then the Mavs were like number 8. But I wanted to talk about them next because the Mavs are 8-1 in their last 9 after they had fallen. They were like the 8th seed, I want to say, or like the 9th seed.
And you want to know what's funny is that all but one of those games came without Luka.
And it's funny you say that because I was curious. I was like, first of all, like, they're winning without Luka. That's great. That's what great teams do.
Yeah, I agree.
But I was worried. I was like, I wonder what's going to happen like when Luka comes back. But they looked great. Like, the Mavs really
they
do
fell
have a great
right back
roster.
In and Luka, yes, they fell right back into place and Luka looked really good. Luka had a great game.
You know, maybe he just needed some rest to stop chucking the ball up like he was.
I think that might be part of it. I think he did need a little bit of rest. He needed a nap skis.
The other person who's been doing really great, shockingly, is Quentin Grimes.
Okay, but this is what I just want to say. Shout out to me, because did I not say that? Was it a couple weeks ago when Luka was out? I said in one of our episodes.
You said get him more involved.
Yes, I said that you're going to see Quentin Grimes get more involved because Luka's out, and the more minutes that they've been giving him and having him next to Kyrie, he has been phenomenal. And I love that for him. And I hope he does not fall back on that now that Luka's back. I hope that they continue giving him minutes.
And Kyrie didn't even Well, Kyrie didn't play. So true. In that last game. So it's like Luka had 36 minutes, 36 points, 7 rebounds, 13. Great game. 3 steals. He was doing a little bit of everything. And 62% from the field. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Quentin Grimes, though, 35 minutes, 28 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 5 steals. Like, they had a great game. And Spencer Dinwiddie actually had a great game. It was so funny because I love when people on the timeline are saying, oh my gosh, Spencer. And I'm like, what?
What did I do? Yes. What did I do?
You rang. I'm here.
And it's funny because I want to mention with Spencer and Quentin, I love this for them and I hope that they continue, because when Spencer Dinwiddie first got traded, everyone was like, you literally turned us down to go to the Lakers, and then you ended up somewhere else, and now you're coming back. Literally. And then Quentin Grimes, they like tried to play him a little bit in the beginning and he was like struggling with this system.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, I get it. It's hard.
Which I fully expect. When you come from a team, anytime someone's going to like a new team, I'm like, okay.
Yes.
They just played, if they were only there for a year even, they played 82 plus games with the same people. Like,
yeah,
that's, everyone plays differently. Just like you said, if someone tried to recreate the Warriors lineup, they're not those people. Like,
you're not the ones.
You're not the ones. It's not you. It's never you. So I always like to give a little grace, which, you know, like the first, especially like with Kat and everything, I was like, you obviously have to give grace. You know, you're learning guys, you're building chemistry with guys. Yeah. You're making friends with guys. So we're kind of at that point though. Yeah. Where now, like if you've gotten playing time, you should be assimilating if you're going to. Like if you're going to be a part of this team and you're going to do well, it's going to start happening. Like it's going to start getting put together.
And that's exactly how I feel with them, because when they both started, like I said, it was kind of like weird for both Spencer Dinwiddie and for Quentin Grimes. No one really fucked with Spencer Dinwiddie. And Quentin Grimes, like he came in and he would kind of struggle and everything like that. And so they only started playing him like 5 or 10 minutes a game. Like he was just like to throw in if they like needed to give someone a rest or whatever. Like he never had like a set place. And then Luka went out and he started getting these big minutes and he showed up in big moments. He shined in big moments. And now he's going to be able to get more minutes and get an opportunity to really show himself. And that's huge for the Mavs. The Mavs having another guy that can score, that can defend, that can facilitate, like, okay. Throw him on the roster. Add him to the roster.
Add him to my roster.
Exactly. So I just, I love that for them. I think that they're going to continue doing well if they all stay healthy. PJ, Washington, and Daniel Gafford have also been fantastic for them. I think that the Mavs have the makings to be an incredible team again.
Their midseason trade last year was so smart. Like, They won the heck out of that for sure. And especially
I think that midseason trade like was what pushed them to the Western Conference Finals. I don't think without it they would have.
Well, to the finals. Yeah. 1,000%.
Oh yeah. Thank you. To the finals.
Yeah. No, I was, and I wanted to talk, cause the, just about teams that can play even, you know, when they're missing guys, cause obviously the Mavs just went 8-1 without Luka.
Yep.
The Cavs did beat the Celtics, but when I tell you, like, the Celtics literally were out Derek White and Jaylen Brown and only lost, I think, by 4.
Yeah.
And I just want everyone to know that that shows, like, just how good the
Celtics are.
The Celtics are. Because what the heck? Like, you know.
Out 2 of your, like, 3 or 4 best players and Peyton you lose Pritchard, to the best team by
give
4.
Give him the Sixth Man of the Year, you know, award now.
I'm not ready for that yet, but he's been incredible.
Yeah.
I still have high hopes for Buddy Hield.
Yeah, they only lost by 4. And what's funny is they were almost even. Like, it was so close that the Cavs made 39 field goals. The Celtics made 38. The Cavs made 17 threes. The Celtics made 17 threes. The Cavs made 20 free throws and the Celtics made 18. Like that game was so, so close.
And that's how I expect it to be with those two teams. Like
that's how we wanted it to be the first game.
Exactly. If you're going to be the top two teams in the East, like that's what I expect is a game just like that. Like a super competitive team. Do you like think a super competitive game?
The gap is that big though that they can only be close without Jaylen Brown and Derek White.
Maybe.
You know what I'm
possibly
saying?
Possibly. I think that the difference is that, like, and you and I kind of talked about this, that, like, if the Cavs get, like, one injury, like, they're out a very important piece, and they don't really have a lot of people that can kind of come up and, you know, do big things for them. Whereas, like, the Celtics, you have a full giant starting five, and then you have a complete, like, five-man bench that can come right in and do whatever you need them to do.
And,
like,
they're
a full team
that's competing for sixth man of the year. We saw how well that did with the Timberwolves when their guy was sixth man of the year. So it's important who comes off your bench. I said this, like, I still think that losing Jeff Green, Ish Smith, like, those pieces off of, and Bruce Brown off of our bench was the only reason we didn't repeat. So it's like,
yes, those vet pieces are so, like, those,
it
just
doesn't,
like,
matter
guys that can come in
starting.
And be guys that can come in and be consistent vets and just literally, like, even just, like, not be detrimental. You just hold the place for the starters, keep the score like as it is. You know, put some good shots up. You don't have to be exceptional. If you are, that's incredible. But, like, good vets are important. Like, that's just good bench pieces in general. They're so important. An incredible starting five, good for you. The Warriors had the best starting five in the entire world. I think it was not the entire world, but the whole NBA. They had the best starting five in the entire NBA, I think, 2 seasons ago. And they literally missed the play-in. Or they didn't miss the play-in, they lost in the play-in. So, like, it doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah. So, and I think you just mentioned that I was texting Caitlin earlier, and, like, the thing about the Cavs is I just feel like they do have to have everyone. Like, I do. I think it's not the same as the Celtics, and I do believe that the Celtics have the makings. It's very obvious of becoming the next Warrior simply because they spent the money. Okay, you spent the money to get your guys, and they said, like, who cares? And I wish the Nuggets would have felt that way. Like, you have to realize what you have and how special it is and how it doesn't come around often. And you sometimes have to spend the money. Don't be cheap.
You do. I kind of wish that, like, the Knicks would have done the same instead of, like, trying to make big moves. And same thing with, like, the Timberwolves. Like, there are teams. This is how I feel about, like,
they tried to make too big of moves instead of waiting for their guys to fully get there together.
This is, and that's how I feel about OKC, the Rockets, and the Magic. You have teams that, like, you knew were great. You know, like, these guys are going to be fantastic together. Oh, last year we saw it. All of these teams were fantastic together.
Yeah, they're young. No one's in their prime yet, really. Like,
none of them.
Shengun is 22, by the way.
I know. The Rockets did nothing. You and I were literally putting them at the bottom because they did nothing. And that's silly us. It's because they're fantastic and they were just waiting for their guys to grow and good on them. I was wrong. You were right.
I still don't feel awful about it because Caitlin and I talked about it in the West. It's just, like, it's so obvious that, like, a bottom tier team, besides, like, the literal bottom two of the West, pretty much everyone is decent and could beat one another.
Everyone's a good contender.
Maybe not. Okay. OKC has really just done amazing, but I think, like, 2 through 12 could all interchangeably beat each other. Like, there's no team
literally
besides the Nuggets and the Lakers. Cause the Lakers can't beat us. Sorry. but speaking of, confusingness going around the league, let's talk about the Atlanta Hawks because
I'm just going to start this off with, if you've been just, like, paying attention, watching, whatever, okay, the Atlanta Hawks are the only, and I mean only, team to lose to the Washington Wizards. The Washington Wizards are on a 14-game losing streak, okay? And before that 14-game losing streak, they beat the Atlanta Hawks 2 games in a row, okay? But now they've lost 14 in a row. So the Hawks lost 2 games literally back-to-back overnight to the worst team in the league. But then a week ago, they come out and they beat the 17-1 Cavaliers 2 times in 3 days. And now the Cavaliers are 17-3. And so I'm like, you're losing to the worst team in the league and you're beating the best team in the league. And you're kind of in the middle everywhere else. What are you? Who are you?
I don't understand.
What are you?
what is happening?
I think they're just like, I think they're just like that team that's just like kind of dropped in the Eastern Conference to like F with the standings. They're just like, oh, go be this team for us. Thank you. That was me dropping them.
It is so funny, though, because you're like, well, that's almost how I felt, because the Nuggets, again, were still like the one seed for a majority. And last year, that's how it felt with the Rockets, because like the Rockets weren't expected to do much. And they were kind of, I think they were like the 10th or 11th when they beat us twice. And everyone was like,
yep.
What is happening? What are you doing? What's happening, Bestie?
Why that? Yeah. Those types of things are always like so confusing, because you're like, is it an off night? Are you actually a good team? Are you actually a bad team? Are you pretenders?
I think they're actually a bad team, but I do think it's hilarious that they beat the Cavs twice in a row. I mean, you know, you had that totally like last year where, you know, like teams would go to overtime and like almost beat the Celtics that were like the worst team ever. And you're like, how did that happen?
What is happening here?
What is happening?
I think that they're like, I think that the nice part about the Hawks though is that they're good competitors. Like that's, especially now, just like the last few weeks, especially with them, like obviously you have Dyson Daniels, who I feel like has like a solid role on the team now. Like he's kind of,
he is first in steals, by the way.
He is. Right now, he's still currently averaging 3 steals a game. He had 4, I think it was 4 steals yesterday. Which was awesome for him. They beat the Pelicans by 12 yesterday. The poor Pelicans. I'm not even going to get into them. If you're a Pelicans fan, I will pray for you. I love you.
They're another team. I think we've met like one Hawks fan, but I don't think I know anyone that's a Pelicans fan.
I've never met a Pelicans fan either. I was literally saying that the other day.
Where are you?
And I'm so sorry. Literally, I'm so sorry.
That's like my theme song for when we don't know if people are fans of a team. Where are you?
Yes. But like Trae Young, my guy, is going insane. He has had game after game with over 10 assists. Like, besides a few days ago, he had a game with only 5 assists. What a loser. But like last game, he had 15 assists. Then he had 11 assists, 22 assists, which did break his all-time like single game assist record. 16 assists, 13 assists, 11 assists, 19 assists. Those are all in a row, by the way. Like he is like comfortably putting himself out there as one of the best passers and one of the best facilitators in the league currently. His shot is still struggling a little bit. I think that like he's had a couple of good games here and there recently, which is good. So maybe that's coming back. But like if you're the Hawks, and you know what, maybe the Hawks are just going to kind of ride it out with what they have, because minus Clint Capella, I feel like they should switch out. Not really. I mean, not that I remember. I don't remember.
Can someone, you know, some of our friends that are, and I'm not calling you old, but you've just been around a little longer than I, please let us know in the comments below if they've ever been good.
Yes, I need to know. I'm very, okay, hold on. Oh God. You're going to have to cut this out because I'm doing a little bit of,
I'm looking up over it.
It's been over a decade.
Oh, the Hawks have 2 appearances in conference finals all time.
Oh, wait, no. They, in 2020, 2021.
The Hawks currently own the second longest drought behind the Sacramento Kings of not winning an NBA championship at 64 seasons.
Wow. Go Hawks. You know what? I'm going to start rooting for them then.
Sorry, they had 4 NBA finals appearances, but they all occurred when the team was based in St. Louis.
Oh, interesting. Okay. That is interesting. Yeah. Well, if you're the Hawks, I feel like you have to, like I said, I've never been a big Clint Capella fan. He's a great rebounder and stuff like that, but I feel like that's really all he can do. I don't think he's like super athletic, and he's not the kind of guy that should be the center with Trae Young. Trae Young needs a more athletic big that he can, you know, throw lobs to all night. And I just feel like other than that, like you now have DeAndre Hunter and Dyson Daniels and Jalen Johnson and Risa Shea. And so I'm like, they're like a couple pieces away from like being a pretty dang good team again. If Trae Young continues, I would say a center and then like another 3-and-D guy maybe. Because like they've got their forward in DeAndre Hunter. Dyson Daniels is a fantastic defender. We know this. I will never shut up about how good he is and how fun watching him defend is. But I'm like, I feel like they're pretty close. Like, a center is a really important piece, especially, like I said, when you have a guy like Trae Young. So I think that they're maybe a few pieces away from, like,
I keep forgetting being a legitimately good team. Bogey's still out.
He played yesterday.
He did? Okay.
Yeah.
I just saw that he was active for maybe tonight. Did they play tonight?
I think he's maybe playing, like, limited minutes, but he's not.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay, they don't his play tonight, shots, but he's active.
His shot has been really rough since he came back. Like, he shot 20% yesterday.
He was 1 for 8 from three. Okay.
Yeah. Wow. And that's kind of how he was the last couple games that he's played too. So you know what? Maybe the Hawks will be even better once Bogey finds his shot.
Yeah. Again? I feel like the roster to me just doesn't have continuity right now. They need something.
Okay. I feel that. I just don't like their center.
Roster just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Moving on. Let's talk about the Bucks, because the Bucks were trash, and now they're kind of not. The Eastern Conference is all trash, but the Bucks are back above 500.
So the Bucks are on a 6-game winning streak. What happened, Spence? Do we think they had a little chat?
Oh yeah, Caitlin and I think they had a little come to Giannis moment instead of come to Jesus. Okay. Get it? because. Their attitude, a.k.a. they, as Giannis and Dame, was so piss poor to start the season. I was like, oh, they're both we both said they were. I was like, no, they're gone by midseason. And I don't know.
They were both so angry every game, all the time. Bad mood, bad attitude. Like,
I don't know if someone yelled at them, if they yelled at each other. But Giannis the other day was like, you know, it's Dame and I's, you know, second season playing together, and the chemistry is just now, you know, becoming amazing. And so I was like, oh, they're like actually acting like he may actually like him, because before it did not like they liked each other. And Giannis is now
by it.
And Giannis is now back like an MVP talks, you know.
Well, with them being above 500 and with his stats all season, like, that's huge.
To be fair, they're playing bad teams. They're in the Eastern Conference. Like, they beat the Wizards, 100%. They beat the Hornets, they beat the Pacers, the Bulls.
Yeah.
But
they're beating average teams.
Part of the NBA is beating teams that you're supposed to beat, you know, and not losing to teams that you're not supposed to lose to. So, you know, he had 42 against the Wizards, 12 rebounds, 11 assists and a block versus the Hornets, 32 points, 11 rebounds, 37 points versus the Pacers. Another triple-double that game, 41 versus the Bulls. Giannis is going off.
He's going insane this season. He's like, he's been a monster and like, when the Bucks were losing like crazy in the beginning of the season, I was like, how do you lose when Giannis is playing like this? So I'm glad that they're finding a way to win, because wasting Giannis games like that is very sad. Like, he's playing insane consistently. Like, 40-point games, 40-point triple-doubles is not normal. Like, that's not a normal thing. It's pretty insane. And so, they're above 500 on a 6-game winning streak. I wonder what their schedule looks like. I'm gonna look it up just to see kind of who they play.
Not that hard.
Well, like, so today they play the Pistons, which, like, whatever. Tomorrow they play the Hawks. But then they play the Celtics, the Nets, the Cavs, Wizards, Bulls, Nets. So they are playing just Eastern Conference teams for a while before they go.
You know what cracks me up,
Western
though?
Conference
is that the Bucks are 10-9 now, mm-hmm. and they are fifth in the East. The Nuggets are 10-8, so we've lost one less game than them, and we are number 9 on the West. Yep. So let's just to remind you that the East is trash.
Yeah, it's still pretty insane. Like, just the discrepancy between. What's it called? What's the word I'm looking for? Like, just the conferences, the discrepancy between talent, I guess, maybe. It's crazy. I don't know.
It's so, so bad. And we thought that it was going to be better this year.
Yep, I know.
I don't know what the fuck the Nuggets are doing.
Is the perimeter defense in the room with us?
No.
Is the perimeter defense anywhere?
Is the making free throws, is the making uncontested shots in the room with us.
No. I don't think anything's in the room with us currently. I think they're kind of... Okay, here's the thing. This is the only thing that I need to say. I mean, I could say plenty of other things. But the one thing that like I have to say is watching the Nuggets stare at a team draining threes. Stare at them.
Crowded together in the paint.
Watching James Harden, who just hit his 3,000th three, second all-time three-point shooter. Check him out. Yeah. No, all of them in the paint together. And then you just see someone kick it out to James Harden. And James Harden is here. And the rest of the Nuggets are here. And they're just like. And watch it go in. What are you doing? Wait, five times in a row? Five out of six possessions? You're going to do that?
Despicable.
Be so for real right now.
They were so bad. And the fact that they only lost two was because they missed all of their free throws, essentially.
Yes. And because they gave up five uncontested threes in the fourth quarter.
But we only lost by, what was it, four?
Four.
At the end?
Yes.
And we I think, missed nine free throws.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I'll say this out loud.
We were 10 for 19. We missed nine and we lost by four. So do the math.
Yummy. When I die, I would like the Denver Nuggets to lower me into my grave so that they can let me down one more time.
This has been like the most inconsistent I've seen in forever because we beat the Thunder and it looks so good. And then we collapse and lose by 500 to the Knicks. And then we come back and blow out the Jazz.
Yeah, we're currently winning every other game right now in like totally inconsistent fashions. It's crazy.
And our next two games tonight are the Warriors and the Cavs.
I was telling Jason that like tonight, normally when the Nuggets and Warriors play each other, like, I'm going to be happy either way. I'm like, I think I'm going to be pissed off either way because both of these teams are pissing me off. Like, I'm just so mad.
I don't understand why our 50 million max contract point guard is only getting 12 shots up a game and not even shooting 20 points. I don't understand that. I don't understand why our defense was so bad and Peyton Watson was sitting in the last 4 minutes.
What was that?
And you put Michael Porter back in, who can't see out of his eye.
Yeah, he got nailed in the eyeball. He got hit in the face during a play. And he was literally like playing certain plays. Like, I'm like, why is he in the game? Why are you...
We need someone to score, not someone to throw up a shot in a prayer. And he missed. He missed like
depth,
I think he made
perception?
One free throw.
Depth perception, people. Like, he got hit in the eyeball.
First of all, I can't stand James Harden. When I tell you, he's the most unethical basketball player I've ever seen. The amount of times he just kicks his legs out on the threes to mind you, our defense was so disgusting that I think we fouled on the 3-point line 6 times that night.
Yep.
That's 3 free shots. And they made their free throws.
Not us.
The defense is just despicable. And as we talked about earlier in this episode, if you want to go back when we were talking about the Rockets, how the Rockets and OKC are doing so well because they have multiple defenders. We have CB and occasionally P-Watt. And that's it.
And Julian Strother is figuring it out slowly.
AG can bully ball, but yeah, I don't know why Julian Strother was on James Harden at some points, why Michael Porter Jr. was on James Harden at some points.
Like,
I don't know
what doing?
That was about. Like, they were
it should be
switching
CB
off
and CB
they were letting
only.
It happen.
Yeah, it should be CB and CB only on those guys.
That was a game that I do say if we had KCP on James Harden, he would not have...
I agree.
Made half of his shots.
I agree. And I think like that's like the problem too is like just like the obviously we talked about the perimeter defense. Like leaving guys open, especially on a team like the Clippers, where you have James Harden, who's literally the second best 3-point shooter in NBA history. Wide open,
not even attempting to contest.
Literally Norman Powell, who everyone knows has had an insane shooting season.
You lost a game to a guy named Norman and James. To guys named Norman and James.
You're going to let that happen? You really going to do that? Yeah, literally.
Disgusting.
And I think that like that's part of it, is that like they just like they have no defensive identity. Offense, no. Of course they have an offensive identity. Their entire offense runs through Nikola Jokic. Well, I'm just saying, like, you know, they at least know that like offense runs through Nikola Jokic. Nikola Jokic facilitates.
If Jamal could score 20 for one game, that'd be so sick.
That'd be fantastic. Yes.
That'd be so cool.
He did 27 one time 2 weeks ago.
That was it.
Woohoo! One game. But I'm just like, at least like on offense, like it's a matter of executing. But they do have an offensive identity through Nikola Jokic. On defense, they don't have anything. Like, no one knows where they're supposed to be or what they're supposed to be doing. And it's just like, it's so bad. And they will not make it through two rounds of the playoffs with a defense like they currently have.
Oh. Listen, I told everyone that I was scheduling, I have a procedure scheduled for the day we play the Celtics. I don't know what the procedure is, but
I'm gone.
I'm not watching them drain 50 triples over our heads. Like,
they're going to.
And the Celtics are going to get to their spots. Like, they're going to get the shots they want. So I'm not watching that. I'm so sorry. I refuse. I'll be dead that day.
I have a nap scheduled.
I'll be underground in a bunker. No phone.
Samesies.
Maybe I'll go camping or something. I don't camp, but maybe I will.
Yep. And I also don't love their like super strict 8-man rotation right now. Like only playing. Like that's not going to work for us. Nikola Jokic can't play 40 minutes every game the entire season.
The thing is that we picked up like Dario Saric, who isn't doing anything. We have Zeke Nagy. Like, we have so many people on our payroll that contribute, that do nothing for us.
They can't do anything. Yeah.
So that's
what I'm saying. I'm like, if they don't make a trade, they're screwed. Yes. That's just
100%.
They need people. They need consistent people that they can put
in.
We
need a consistent scorer.
Eight people
and a strong defender.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. They need a 3-and-D guy. I think that's literally what I put. I was like, you really need a 3-and-D guy. Someone that can consistently shoot and also play great defense. They need it.
Yeah. But moving, I don't even want to talk about them anymore. They disgust me, and I'll be at the game tonight. Maybe.
Well, great. Cause I'll be pissed off at the next one that we talk about too, while we're at it. These losers are on a 4-game losing streak.
Warriors are on a little bit of a weak streak.
Yeah, and they play the freaking Nuggets tonight. And this is just like the Nuggets play the freaking Warriors tonight. Like, I know that both these teams can be great.
Who knows?
It's right. Is it the battle of ass, battle of contenders, battle of should be contenders? Right. Okay. So here's the thing. They're playing like crap. They are playing like crap. They're giving away games, just handing them over. They're not playing defense. They're handing the games over.
Can relate.
Let me also say, can relate, right? Okay. So let me just say this too, because people keep saying like that I'm being dramatic about this, okay?
Oh, everyone calls angry. Me dramatic. I'm so 24/7. Aware that I'm dramatic.
Yeah,
I'm
literally
going to be dramatic.
Literally.
If you don't want dramatics, you're at the wrong place.
You want to know what I was going to say the other day? I was like, people that call, I think I was just like thinking about this or maybe talking to Jason about it. But I was like, people that call us dramatic, like to me, that's great, because if I'm not being dramatic, I'm not being authentic to myself. And so, you know what? If I'm too much, go find less. If we are too much, go find less. We are dramatic, and that's just how it's going to be. But anyway, so the Warriors are on a 4-game losing streak. And I talked about this during their game, like their fourth loss. And towards the end of the game, I was so frustrated because we were in the fourth quarter and we were kind of climbing back, like to be able to win this and everything like that. We were on our fourth loss in a row against the Suns. We were down only 7 with 8 minutes left to go. We had like really worked on climbing our way out. Steph Curry was not in the game yet. I'm like, okay, he's only played 24 minutes. Why is my guy Steph not in the game right now, playing the last 8 minutes of the game to try and give ourselves a chance to fight back and get this win? 7 points? That's 3 possessions for Steph Curry. And I know that he was not having an awesome shooting game.
He was having a really bad shooting game.
He was. But that's the thing about Steph Curry is that like Steve Kerr put in Jonathan Kuminga, who was 0 for 8.
Yeah.
Why are you putting in your guy that's 0 for 8 over your superstar Steph Curry, who's the best 3-point shooter in the entire world, who literally won Clutch Player of the Year last year? If there's a time that Steph Curry is going to get hot, it is going to be in a close game that they need to win or that they could win. And so it's 8 minutes and we're all just waiting. No Steph Curry, no Steph Curry, no Steph Curry. Okay. And then suddenly we put Steph Curry in when we're down 15 and we're expecting him to pull us out.
Yeah. To pull you out of the mud.
Yes, to pull us out of the deficit. I'm like, if we would have put him back in with 7 left when everyone is hype and we're on this, like, you know, climb out of the hole, like, we could have won. And, like, Steve Kerr's only been playing him 30 minutes, which, like, I get it's a long season. You want him to be healthy. He's 36 now. I get it. But, like, you can play him 32 minutes every few weeks in a close game that you should want to win. That you kind of need to win. Because people were like, well, he's old. And like someone literally blocked me because they were mad that I said that Steve Kerr should have put Steph Curry in. He literally blocked me.
And they call us dramatic.
I know. He was like, well, you don't know. Or like, what, do you think you know more than Steve Kerr? STFU. I was like, wow, like you're so cool. Chill. I'm just saying. It probably doesn't hurt to put your starter in. You're a star. Best shooter in the league. And so Steve Kerr is just making really weird choices. I'm all for, you know, keeping fresh legs and, you know, having guys only play 30 minutes most games. But I'm like, if this is a winnable game and you have the best shooter in the league, even if he's having a bad shooting night, whatever it may be, he's still the guy that can make stuff happen. His pace alone, sprinting in circles for 8 minutes straight, can throw off an entire team.
Oh,
the Suns do not have that type of conditioning. They don't have that type of play. And so just the fact that he didn't put him in there is absolutely crazy to me. If you can play Steph Curry for 32 minutes one night or 34 minutes one night, I've watched this guy play 42 minutes for weeks straight in the playoffs. He's going to be fine. He's Steph freaking Curry. I'm fine. I think I'm like spazzing out a little bit. It's going to be fine. Yeah. I have to watch them lose to each other. I have to watch someone lose tonight.
I don't know.
Between them and the Nuggets. And I'm going to be sad.
I'm going to be so angry tonight, but it's going to be
okay. I'm going to be mad either way. Yeah.
I was actively screaming at the Clippers game and I felt bad because like my mom was asleep because I was on East Coast time and it was late. But I couldn't believe my eyes. I was so baffled. And I was, Caitlin was trying to text me. I was like, I physically can't talk right now because I'm so, like, I was just so angry at the last 2 minutes. Like that, the Nuggets are one of the clutchest teams or used to be. I was like, I can't believe they just did that.
The whole thing was baffling. I know that you and I are going to have quite fun tonight watching this game. But either way, we're going to end there. Me and Miss Ma'am have so many fun things to do. We are literally so happy to be back with you guys. We're so happy to be here. So happy that you're here.
It's true.
We can't wait to keep talking basketball with you guys now that at least that holiday is over. Coming up, we have Christmas, and Spencer is going to be with me on Christmas. We're going to be going to the Nuggets Suns game on Christmas Day, which I'm so excited about. And we're thinking of maybe doing like a live after the game if everyone is down for that. Some cutesy Christmas vibes, talk about some basketball. That would be so fun.
Let us know.
Let us know.
No, make sure you, on the real though, make sure you subscribe, like, and comment, and turn on the little notification bell so you don't miss anything. We only were on a break because of the holidays, but we will be back either Thursday or Friday. Kayla and I usually like to look at the schedule and kind of see
what games we want to talk about.
Yeah, if there's a bigger night Thursday night, I'm going to have to look at the schedule. We'll probably wait till Friday. But either way, we will have another episode out before the weekend. And check out all the links below so you can talk to us on other social media for when we're on breaks, know when we're posting. And
yeah, we've got a little bit of everything. We have X, yeah. We have Instagram, we've got TikTok, obviously here on YouTube. If you're not subscribed to us, you better stop what you're doing and do that now. Click the little ding bell because it lets you know whenever we post, and we do several times a week usually. So do all of that. Follow us on social media so that you can talk to us throughout the week. With like active sports, we talk football on our stuff. We talk basketball, baseball, hockey, kind of all sorts of, a little bit of everything on our Twitters
Spencer
and stuff.
Spencer talks about how she hates baseball. It's great. It's a great time.
She does. It's true. She's there. She's literally there for the vibes. If she shows up at a baseball game, it's for the vibes.
It's for a cold drink in my hand and for the fellowship of being around other people.
The fellowship. Oh, my Lord.
Can you
oh
tell
my
a gosh, pastor's well. Kid? That's such a pastor's kid thing to say.
It really is. That's literally such a church kid word. I love it. That's
okay. We love you guys. We missed you. And we will see you in 2 or 3 days.
So soon.
Okay. So soon. Bye. Love you all.
Okay. Love you. Bye.